We ready? We good? Go with me? Okay, so you have your things. You have all your things in your hand. You have your Bible. You have your spiral. You have your chocolate. You have your Band-Aid. And you have your screw. Your screw and your Band-Aid, you can put down for a second so you don't have that, like, you're not juggling that. I'll prompt you when to pick them up. Got it? Your chocolate, you can hold on to. Do you know why you can hold on to it? Okay. So, the chocolate is because, did anyone else feel like this is a bit of a beating this week? Like last week I did a few punches and my awkward karate kick. I felt quite beat up this week. Raise your hand if you're like slight beating. No? Okay. Can we be a little higher so we all like can experience? Okay. It was a hard material, bridal tip. Did you experience a beating? Gail's like, your voice is so high pitched, I can't hear you. When I talk to people hearing it, I always like talk like this. I get like the cold, sexy voice going. This is my gift to you, because this was a hard week, and when girlfriends have hard weeks, we bring each other chocolate. And if I could afford to buy all of you Starbucks, I would do that too. So imagine you have chocolate and your invisible cup of Starbucks that I can't afford to pay for. Okay? So you eat your chocolate. There's no spiritual significance other than I love you. It was a hard week, but you showed up. Give somebody a high five. Said we showed up anyway. Jamie, if you want to head up this way, let me tell you a couple things. All right, ladies, you listening? We have done harder things than do Bible study, yes?
Yes.
Coming to Bible study when it is cold, still in Houston, Texas, in the middle of February. It started getting cold in November. I am running out of things. I think I might have worn the exact same outfit last week, but I was like, I don't care. I don't even care. Because I don't have cold things to wear. I have 4 cold outfits. And it's February. To come, it's hard to do. But have you done harder things than come to a Bible study?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Have you done harder things than answer 20, 25 questions about the Word of God?
Yes.
Tell me, on the count of 3, one thing you've done harder than come to Bible study and do Bible study. 1, 2, 3.
File a FAFSA.
You want to be able to hear it. What was your answer?
File a FAFSA.
File a FAFSA. I don't even know what that is, but all the acronym
parts.
Yes. Anything like that, misery. Guys, we have done harder things, okay? The other thing that we do in this Bible study is we make sure we make this a priority. You listening? Say I'm listening.
Listening.
3 of you. We plan for this. We make the way that we make this happen, this thing that is hard to do, even though it's not the hardest thing we've ever done, we make time. So even though we're not going to pause for it at the beginning of this time, you, woman, a grown adult woman, make the time for it. Okay? So maybe before you leave here, maybe whatever it is that you need to do, you make the adult grown-up woman choice in my head. How do I make time? Last week, that was the right amount of time. Last week, I got 12 questions answered, or 5. Or I'm here, and that's a win. You're going to have those weeks. But then look back on your last week and say, what do I need to do different this week? So you're not cramming, so you're fully absorbing the Word of God, okay? That's on you. I'm not going to set you up for that anymore, but you can do it. Yes? Jamie girl, can you read us this week's passage, please? Okay, you got it.
James.
Here. You're so cute. We all love it. We all are like heart-eyed emoticons right now.
Okay, James. Humbly accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power.
Thank you so much. So James was messing around this week, right? Like again. I sat down and I did my homework on Wednesday, or I started the homework on Wednesday, and I was so encouraged by it. I was like, I drew hearts around parts of it, like, oh, I'm going to approach my fights with Chris, who's my husband, so differently. I'm like, it's going to be a great week with my kids. Like, I literally wrote, Lord, thank you so much for this lesson. I needed this work on my heart, and drew a heart around my sweet prayer to the Lord of how he had done a sweet work on my angry heart. And do you know what? This was the worst week ever. Like, Chris and I have not fought like this in years. Like, in years. Mid-fight, I would look at him and be like, I'm just going to have to call Summer, who teaches the morning session. Summer, she's just going to have to teach because we're fighting so much, I can't even teach Bible study. Like, this is what the mid-fight, guys. This was my ammunition. I'm so desperate and bad I got. It was bad. But I'm so thankful for it. Because had we not been doing James, had God not done this sweet, like, heart work on me on Wednesday, that then turned into a really ugly 5 days, it was like that, then mixed with, are y'all loving that we're studying Acts as a church? And, like, if you don't go here, you should download the podcast, because we're going through Acts as a church. And number one, we have the best pastor on the planet who just preaches his guts out every week. And then you pair Acts and what we're learning there in Acts with what we're learning in James, and I feel like my head is exploding, my heart's jumping up and down, I'm falling to the floor feeling like I suck, and then, like, I can do it all, like, all at the same time. And I felt like the Lord just, like, renewed me on Sunday of, like, I got you. Like, remember the truth of this, not the shame of this. And it has been, like, the sweetest 2 days, and I'll take it. Like, I'll take sweet 2 days, because I know tomorrow could be a different day. But his word can change us. His word can change us. Okay. Know this, my beloved brothers. My beloved brothers. He said, know this. That word in the Greek, that know, is like, huddle up, family. Anybody have family rules growing up in their house? We have them written on a chalkboard, and I literally, when we leave to go almost anywhere, I gather my girls around this. We have 7 family rules, and I'll say, tell me one family rule. Tell me what that means. How are you going to use that when we go? Mariah, tell me the other family rule. And we go through all family rules almost every time, what they mean, how are you going to apply it at the doctor's office, at the grocery store, at the swimming pool, at this birthday party, so that they can know. And this is what James is saying. Okay, beloveds who are now dispersed. Remember, James was the leader. He was Jesus' brother. He saw Jesus. Then he believed in Jesus. And now his people that he was the leader of were all dispersed into different places because of persecution. And he is saying, this is his way of huddling them up and saying, let's not forget what our family, the Church of God family, is all about. Huddle up. That's what this know means. I want you to know these rules. Know them and live them. My beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James, why? Why do you keep saying these things? The first two, quick to hear and slow to speak. Like, another way, not in the Greek, that you can, like, make this to mean, shut up. Yeah? Shut up. Shut up. Can we say that at the church? We do. Every week I'm like, am I going to get fired this week? I'm not sure if that was okay or not. That was the first part tonight that I'm afraid I'm going to get fired for. Shut up. So take your Band-Aid. You're not going to put it over your mouth right now. You're like, but I have cute lipstick on. I did my makeup, actually. Take your Band-Aid. Open it, but don't take the sticky parts off, okay? If I, again, could afford to buy everybody a roll of duct tape, that's what would be in your seat tonight. But I, like, weird, I don't have $500, because duct tape's expensive. But dollar store Band-Aids, not expensive. Ladies, shut up. Okay? What we learn in the Word of God this week is to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Not easy for the majority of women. Yes? So what this is for you. And we're actually going to take a couple minutes. So Tia, if you want to get like a song ready to play, we're going to take 3 minutes. And I want you to think about this Band-Aid that is funny-ish, but not so funny. When you're very quick to speak and very slow to listen. So I want you to ask your Father, as we practice being women who are doers of the word, ask your Father, where do you need to be slow to speak and quick to listen? And maybe this is like everywhere. Maybe it's like at work, maybe at my home. Where is it that you need to shut up? If you want to write that place down, you can. If you want to just hold on to it, what I want you to ask, and then after you've identified, I want you to ask the Lord, where do I need to put this? Do I need to put it on my refrigerator? Do I need to put it on my car dashboard? Where do I need to shut up more, and where should I put this, Father, as soon as I can? Okay? You have 3 minutes. Talk to your dad. Sure, where you might be quick to hear, where you need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, think, what would your spouse say? Your coworkers, your boss, best friend, what might they kindly suggest for you to think about? Got about one more minute. You have extra time? Go ahead and just confess that to the Lord. God, I'm sorry I've been this way. Help me. It's like we've learned with trials and temptations. Take it to the cross right now and just say, God, I'm so sorry. I need your help. Okay, ladies, you're grown women, right? This is not an easy thing. It's not easy, but you can do this. We can do this together, okay? I put my Band-Aid. I have many. I'm going to take many tonight. If you need extras too, like me, if you've had a hard week, there's extras up here. This one right here, though, I'm going to keep it on. You know how Band-Aids, they stick on forever. I'm not sure what dollar store Band-Aids are like, but I'm going to leave this one till it peels off of me as my way to remember to pray for you as you are praying through this. So this is my commitment to you all to know I'm praying. It's like right there where I see it, my Palm Pilot. You already know this is where I put special notes to myself. So I'll be praying for you. We can do this. It will not be easy, but we, as we have learned from past weeks, when we have temptations and trials, when you have temptations to be like, but, you stop, okay? Your mind, maybe you need to put yours on your wrist, not so much on your computer. Put it someplace as a reminder. This doesn't have to be a thing for you anymore. This doesn't have to be a thing. Okay. Family rules, quick to hear, slow to speak. Third one, everyone's favorite, slow to what? Anger. Well, like, I'm not an angry person, right? This is kind of what we say, like, I love Jesus, I love others, right? What's interesting about this definition, I look up almost every word in our context, in our scripture every week in Greek, just to see, is there something deeper in the translation that we don't see in Webster's dictionary? This one was a really interesting. In Greek, there are two words for anger. One is like, rah, angry. Everybody show your friend your angry face. Rah, rah. So there's angry, and then there's this word in this context that's like this. Do you know how we do that as women? We're like, or it's angry like this. And you're just like this. This anger, it shocked me. It's internal anger. Busted, right? Like, I thought I was doing good because, like, I didn't cuss at anyone. I didn't hit anyone. I didn't throw anyone. I didn't throw anything or anyone, depending, like, how much involved you want CPS to be. Whatever it may be, we didn't do anything on the outside. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Like, and what this is saying is it's an internal thing. Like, God cares so much about our heart that he's saying, I'm talking about that. That no one here would ever guess. Like, you probably, except for I'm pretty open with you all, you may not think that I'm an angry person because I'm so happy to see you each week. But when my children, for the 15,000th time, it's like, I need you to get your shoes on. 20th time, get your shoes on now! Right? This is me. This is like real life Becky. You already see dry shampooed Becky, now you see like morning time Becky. That we can go there really fast. But some of us are pretty good. Like, this isn't a thing for you. And that's awesome. Like, I know we all have our struggles, this isn't yours. But he's even saying, in your heart, when that person at work does that little thing and you're like, it just starts boiling a little bit. Or you hear a mention of an old friend who's not a friend anymore because of the non-friendly things they did to you. And it just like makes you anxious a little bit. That's what it's talking about. Don't be angry. Yeah? Awesome. Thanks, God, for that. But what we learned this week, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. So we go slow with it. The permission you have, and I want you to tell your friend, it's okay to be angry. Tell the person next to you. It's okay to be angry. You never know which person to turn to, so you just turn to both, right? We don't want to leave anyone out. We're good Christian women, so we can turn both sides. It is okay to be angry. Did anybody, like, need to hear that this week as a Christian woman? Because what we are told so often, forgive. Like, I'll talk to women all the time, like, it's not an issue. I've forgiven them. Jesus forgives me. I forgive. But the thing is, we have permission to be angry. But we are told to be angry, but get slow as you're going towards it. Slow down. For most of it's like, I'm good, I'm good. I'm so angry! Right? This is what happens to a lot of Christian women. We need to slow our anger down. Ephesians 4:6, you read it in your homework, right? Be angry, yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So we are told throughout Scripture, you have freedom to be angry. But you be angry without sinning. We talked in your homework, too, this past week about righteous anger. That's a tricky one, because, like, so can I only be angry about, like, things that are righteous, what's righteous? It feels pretty righteous to me that your shoes should go in the bin, right? Or that you should turn in your project at the given time that I told you to do as your boss. Feel righteous right now, right? So God gives us permission to be angry, but do it without sinning. So if you're starting to maybe talk like this in your head, you're probably going down the path that's not okay, yeah? Righteous anger, we compare it to the things that would matter to God. If God wouldn't get so angry about your kids not coming down for the 20th time, I'm sorry, I keep using this example, it was a fresh one, about that, then maybe you shouldn't yell too, you shouldn't yell too, or shouldn't yell. Because God probably wouldn't yell at your child for like having to be reminded for the 20th time. Now, the whole Me Too movement, right? Like, would you say it's okay for these women to be angry about what happened to them? Totally. Righteous anger. God's not like happy that this has happened and taken place. Righteous anger. If you're upset about other things like that, like if you're like, God, what would you care about this? Get pissed, okay? Get so angry about it. Without sinning, do something. That's what James is telling us in this. Do something. So if you're angry about it, do something in the righteousness of God. Don't just sit there like we women like to do. Like, I'm so pissed about this. I'm so mad. I'm going to just tell everybody about this. I can't believe this is happening. That's what we like to do. We like to not be so slow to talk. We like to talk to everyone about how angry we are, how unjust the situation is. Walk in righteousness in your anger. Walk in righteousness. And here's the deal, ladies. Look at me for 2 seconds. You know 99.9% of the time when you're righteous or not righteous in your anger. Yes? So we're not going to keep talking about it. You already know. I know. This week, I know. I was a fool. A fool for 5 solid days. The other time, partial fool. But for 5 days, total, complete, fool. Looney Tune. Okay, verse 21. Let's keep going. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So we receive this word from God because it grows deeply within us with meekness. Meekness is kind of an awkward word for us girls because we're like, is this where I'm supposed to be like that quiet person we read about, quiet and submissive woman? Meekness is so weirdly translated into English from the Greek because it doesn't really equate. Meekness is having, like if you summarize the translation, it's having the power to do something but withholding. It's having that power of like, I could do something, but I'm not going to. I don't need to. God's got this. God's got this. So when we receive the word of God, this is humility. It's when that boss is a jerk to you again, when that friend or sibling or mother or coworker or bestie, whoever, wounds you and you're angry again, and you say, I am choosing strength in this now as opposed to strength in my really awesome rebuttal that I am forming at the moment in my head. Yes? This, ladies, coming to the word of God, this is meekness. It's saying, I can't do anything about this, but I have a few suggestions. But God can. God can change this relationship. God can change this situation. We receive it with humility. Going on, James 22 through, let's go to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let's stop there. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. Can you turn to your friend and say, we are deceiving ourselves.
We are deceiving ourselves.
Yay. When we come to Bible study, when we go to church on Sunday, and how many of you went to awesome IF gathering this weekend? Did anybody do IF gathering here? Yes. And you go to IF gathering. It was one of the women's conference things that happened this weekend. If you go to these conferences, and then you go to church on Sunday, and then you go to house church on Wednesday, and Bible study here, and you're studying the Word of God during the week, and you're like, I think I'm getting it together. So if you do this, and yet your life doesn't measure up, you are fooling yourself. You are totally fooling yourself. We all are. That's what I love about James, because he is just saying, okay, huddle up, all the dispersed, my friends, my beloved brothers have been persecuted. You got to get it together. Because it does not matter how much you know about God's word if you do nothing with it. You can go to places all over the world, and they have one sheet of a Bible. That's all they have access to because it's illegal in their country. And they sleep with it. They hide it, and they know that page. And you know, some of them are living a greater truth than we are, who have probably 20 of these at home in 25 different translations, which isn't impossible if you do the math like that. That's us. That we are so accessible to truth, and we don't live it out. Man, that's why I've loved Jason preaching Acts so much, because he's just saying, in the early church, they just lived it. But if we were to ask our neighbors, if you were to ask five neighbors, apartment, street, wherever you live, why they believe you're a Christian, what would they say? Would they know other than the fact that maybe you've invited them to the Easter service a few times? Or because they see you doing Bible study sometimes? Going to Bible study, they probably don't see you doing Bible study on your front lawn. Weird if you're doing that. If you ask your coworkers, what would they say? Well, she's sweet. She doesn't cuss like the rest of us. She only has one drink at a happy hour. What makes you different, truly? What makes you different? Ladies, we have got to be more than women who are like, I know James was Jesus's brother. We have got to be women who live it out. Because this right here, you doing the homework, is a waste. That we have to take the time, because it's not too hard to just say, I'm turning off the radio on the drive to work or after carpool line, and I'm just going to talk to you, Dad, Father, good Father, and say, what do I need to confess in my life? What isn't measuring up with this, God? What relationships need to change? And then we shut up. Because we don't just need to stop talking in our everyday relationships. We need to stop talking in our relationship with God. And we fill this silence because we don't trust the voice we're hearing, yes? And we just have to become comfortable with this silence until we can hear the voice of God. Not in a weird charismatic way, okay? But when we will know it's God, when we know the implanted word of truth. Because if it doesn't line up with this, we know it's not God, right? And we have to listen. We have to listen to it so we can do it. Let's not deceive ourselves. Tell your friend. Again. Again. Don't deceive yourself. I love y'all so much. So then there was this very weird verse in the middle. Did anybody have a hard time with it? For if anyone, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. Did anybody else like, what? Raise your hand, please. That's it? The rest of you got it? I like truly read this 10 times. I snuck down to the commentary down here because I'm like, I feel like I need help immediately to understand what in the world he's talking about. No help. I tried all the different translations, no help. Finally, there was help in one of my commentaries. So in the day, mirrors back then were like the super like when you go to antique. Anybody ever antique like your JoJo? They're all like foggy and rusted, and we put those up now because they seem so cute. They were worse than even that. Like you could not make out the actual visual back in this day, right? So when he would say, it's like when you look in a mirror and you can't really see, mirrors were also super rare. That was like, a delicacy is the wrong word because that's food, but whatever is like that. It was a special treat to have a foggy mirror in your home. They just didn't see themselves. So we can't quite connect with that verse, but we can connect with the other extreme. We are so aware. Our life is in HD, right? You can selfie constantly. Like, do you ever like turn on your camera and it's like, whoa, forgot it was in selfie mode, and you shock yourself by how you look in that moment? Anyone? This is what happens when we are so consumed in ourselves. So we don't have the same problem of like, we forget what we look like when we stare into it. We know exactly what we look like. We know all of our flaws. We know every line, every wrinkle, every non-makeup hairstyle and face look. We know everything about ourselves. And the problem is when we hold up devotionals, that is one little verse and a blurb about somebody else's commentary, nothing lines up. That's like looking into our selfie picture 25 times a day. But when we look into the word of truth, That's how we know who we are. When we stop saying, I'm this, I don't belong, I don't fit in, I suck as a mom, I'm a horrible wife, I'll never get married, I'll never have children, I'll never belong, I'll never get a job, I'll never, all these things that we say are true about ourselves, when we look into our HD selfie pic mode, we are only believing these things. I get this. I struggle with this all the time. This week, professionally, pretty awesome week. I showed Tia a picture before we began. Lifeway, y'all, I'm releasing a book with Lifeway in the fall. I don't know if I shared this. Crazy, amazing, right? I still like think they're anytime gonna email me and say, JK, right? Like we picked the wrong person. This week they asked me to do a blog post on Valentine's Day. And on their Instagram account, you guys, I screenshotted this because there's Lifeway, right? On the like largest Christian distributor of all time. They're on the side of the freeway we pass. They had Beth Moore. Do we know who Beth Moore is? Then they had the image right next to it in the middle. It was my little Valentine's Day post image. Then Jen Wilkin, who wrote our Bible study, all in one line. And I like literally, when I saw it for the first time, I was like, what? I honestly fell to the ground, like, in total unbelief. And still when I see that, I'm like, they're going to email me anytime and say the book's canceled. We have no interest in her writing anything for us in the future. Thanks, but no thanks. Because, by the way, we have Beth Moore and Jen Wilkin on our register. You know, I struggle with this. When I'm looking into the mirror saying, you don't even know what a comma and a semicolon do in difference to one another. You struggle to come up with words like delicacies for other things, right? Like, you don't belong. And I have a book deal with Lifeway. I still struggle with this not belonging when I'm focused on me. But when I come here, he says, I love choosing the most unlikely people. I get such a kick out of the fact that you can't spell anything, but I call you to write. I get a kick out of you still not knowing any of the order of any of these books right here after Psalms. I have no clue. Like, no clue. And he's given me a passion to write Bible studies and to teach the Word of God. That's what he does when his Word is implanted in us because he gets more glory for it. He doesn't need you to have it together. He just needs you to have this as a greater priority than the chatter. Got it?
Yeah.
Yes. Where are we? Be effectual doers. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, man, this gives us freedom, ladies, and perseveres, be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed. He will be blessed every time. So here we have two words that say the same thing and mean very similar yet different things. He's saying, I want you to be an effectual doer, one that has effects, right? A doer who does is what a lot of translations say. That first word, doer, is getting something done. Everybody say, get something done. Antonyms for that one is loitering and leisure. So the opposite of getting stuff done is loitering and leisure. We can deceive ourselves, like we talked about at the beginning of this section of scripture, because we're so busy. Oh, I'm not lazy. How many shows have you watched on Netflix in the past 3 months? How many hours do you think you've logged scrolling Instagram and Facebook? Hours. We love leisure. Even you can be a weird person like me. My husband always jokes about me and my brother because we're slightly workaholics. He's like, your little sibling slogan is, why work 1 hour when you can work two? This is what my husband says about me and my brother because we just, my leisure is, I'm going to study this for another hour because I get a kick out of Greek definitions. Isn't that weird? That's so weird. I have 2.0 college GPA, but like, I can study Greek all day long. That's leisure for me. But I can hide in that instead of doing what matters. I can be too busy to meet with someone to disciple them because I have to study the Word of God more for Bible study, right? Then a doer who does. And that word doer is simply a keeper of the law. This is where you're going to grab your screw. The synonym for that doer is carpenter. So if you want to be a doer who does, you are someone who chooses not to be lazy and get carpenter work done. And we all know, when you build something, it doesn't just happen. Have any of you tried to build anything? Yeah, I tried to build sugar cookies this week. That takes so much time. I was like, we're going to do a sweet, like, I had a moment at church. I'm going to have a sweet bonding time with my kids because I yelled at them for the majority of the week. We're going to bake sugar cookies. They were so excited. I even doubled the recipe. So each of my big girls got their own batch. And I said, if you want to add more vanilla or sugar because you think it will taste better, let's do it. Like, whatever you want to do. Like, fun mom, right? And after 30 minutes, they totally ditched me. And then I was left with a double batch of cookie. You guys, 2.5 hours, I was like, okay, taking it in and out. We can be busy doing things. We can get some things done. But carpenter work, baking, whatever it is, takes time. Sharing your faith with your neighbors, with your coworkers, breaking temptations and struggles like we confessed at the cross last week, it takes time. Becoming a student of the Word of God, it takes time. It takes week after week after week. I didn't love Greek at the beginning because I didn't know that the Bible was in Greek. I thought the Bible was in my New Living Translation that I tore up. I didn't know there was multiple themes. I didn't know anything. We go further the further we go. But we work. So this screw symbolizes two things. You can either be a worker, and remember the carpenter just working, or you can screw around. Do you like that? I hope it hits a little bit though. You can either get after it for the name and the sake and the glory of God in your life, or you can keep screwing around. Funny at first, bit of a bite at the end. That's why I almost bought ones with blood tips. I was like, no, I want it to poke you sometimes. I want you to feel the pain of when you choose to be lazy, when we choose to be lazy, it's hurting us. When you choose to be the diligent carpenter, it's going to hurt you still. But it's a good hurt. It's that steadfast hurt that we talk about. So you put this someplace where you see it. And you don't forget. Maybe you take your Band-Aid and you tape it to your monitor at work. Whatever you need to do. You put this someplace where you actually see it. Deal? And when we pray in just a little bit, I want you to ask God for that place and obedience to do it. As we wrap, it says, and perseveres, verse 25, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer of her acts. James comes back to this. He just talked about this in 1:12 of remain steadfast under trial. Remember we talked about that? I looked up this word. As I said, this has been a really hard week for me. And I was like, I need to understand this perseverance that he talks about. So I looked up every single mention of it in the New Testament. Thankfully, there was only like 13 times. Woohoo! Here it is. Matthew 10:22, Jesus endured. So endured, persevere, steadfast, all kind of interchangeable. Jesus endured to the end. Or Jesus said this, endure to the end and you will be saved. Matthew 24:13, Jesus again, endure to the end, you will be saved. Mark 13:13, Jesus again, endure to the end and you will be saved. Romans 12:12, be patient in tribulations. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love endures all things. Love endures all things. 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul, endured for the sake of the elect. We endure sometimes for other people. Hebrews 10:32, you have endured a hard struggle. We have to endure through hard things. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus endured the cross. We saw that last week. James 1:12, remain steadfast, endure under trials. And 1 Peter 2:20, do good and suffer and endure. That we do good when we suffer and endure. This isn't an encouraging verse. But it's one filled with so much hope. Because we are challenged to endure in the same way in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus did. Can you believe that? Like you and whatever is the trial, whatever is that thing, like, I got some Band-Aids. I'm going to come get five more. I have some things, Becky, that I'm struggling through. I'm struggling to understand or believe is true about myself or others. And what Jesus is saying, I know you can be steadfast and endure through this because I did it. That's why James is so crazy excited about Jesus and the gospel, that he's like, bam, 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 because he saw what Jesus did. He saw him endure. He saw him, like, grow up as a human. He saw his perfect life, still not believing. And then he saw the resurrection. The thing that got James was his endurance on the cross. Because he said, he didn't just endure, but he conquered that. So you can too. You totally can too. And not in a, like, get it, girl, girl power way, yeah! Like, you can endure because your Jesus endured all things. Okay? I want you to stand up. Take your screw. So here we have this song and lyrics. Okay. If you are a small group leader, can I get you to go ahead and go towards the back of the aisles? Here's what we're going to do, ladies. I want you this week, just like last week and every other week, you have freedom right now to do whatever it is that you need to do with the Lord. Maybe you need to have some confession time like I had to have on Sunday. If I have not been living with a bridled tongue, I've not been slow to speak, I've been super quick to anger. With others, with myself, with God. And it's not been righteous. And I need help. I need help. So what I want you to do is, if you want to spread out, if you want to go to pillows, if you need to sit back down or whatever, you have a couple minutes, just 2 minutes, to think, pray by yourself in silence. The reason why I wanted you to stand up is because I want you to know you can do this. You are steadfast. You are strong enough. You just have to shut up. You know, Jesus, our God, told through Moses to the Israelites right before they crossed that Red Sea, I will fight for you. You have only to be what? Does anyone know? Silent or still, depending on the translation. The Lord can enter in, making you steadfast through the implanted word of God. When you finally shut up, stop talking and just listen. So for a minute, ask your Father, what is true of him? What needs to change in your heart? It's going to be quiet for a second, and then we're going to sing the song, I Need You. And we're going to sing a surprise song. It will be as awesome. But if you're like, I need prayer right now, it's been a hard time. You have space. You have time. I'm going to wrap us. We have 6 minutes to just pray, worship, talk to our dad. There are your leaders in the back. You don't have to find your leader. Find any leader. Let them pray. This, if you come on Sunday morning, you're like, I don't know. Do I pray? I don't have something serious going on. If you have anything, you're like, I need somebody else entering into this with me. You pray, and then we're going to worship our guts out for one awesome surprise song, and then I'll dismiss us.